It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storms. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it said, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quoted with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand.
Good job, guys. Thank you. Let's stand briefly. Briefly, if we could stand for the scripture reading. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. And we will start in verse number 37. We'll read from 37 to verse 47. We'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Acts chapter number 2, verse 37. I'll let you get there. I still hear the pages turning. All right. Verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter had just preached at the day of Pentecost here, and he gives his message, the Spirit of God is working, and so people are asking, what should we do? Verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." So what happens? He's preaching. People are interested. Here's what happens. Look at the results here, verse 41. "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Wow. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless us in our brief time here this morning. Help us to grasp the thought we're sharing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we understand, salvation, if you are saved, you can say this. Salvation is a wonderful experience. It's a moment when we trust Christ, our sins are forgiven, and now our eternal home in heaven is sealed. We become new in Christ. God gives us a purpose for our life, until we meet him in heaven. It's not just about our eternal purpose. It's about also what God wants to do in our life now that we're saved until the time that we die. But God has much for us to do on this earth. After we get saved, we call that section of life, to give it a spiritual term or the biblical term, the time from the time we're saved until the time we die and go to heaven, Bible, we call that sanctification. That's a time where we grow in our faith. That's a time where God works in us on this earth, and that, by the way, continues until the very day that we die. We become more mature. And as a fact that we become more mature as Christians, we also become more useful to the Lord in our lives. But there is no doubt that part of what God wants to do for us is related to the church, your church, the church that you are a part of. By the way, the church is important. The church is not man's idea. The church was God's idea. And it's a very important thing. We must realize that we will never be the Christian God intends for us to be without our involvement in a good Bible-believing, preaching, and Bible-living church. Very important. You realize most of the epistles in the New Testament were written to specific churches. The book of Revelation, there were seven letters written to seven specific churches. The church is important. By the way, as I look back on my life, I am thankful for the church and how the church has helped me over the years. I did not grow up in church. Fact of the matter is, our family wasn't Christian by any stretch of the imagination. I didn't even go to church. First time I went, fifth grade. I went one time because they were giving away candy if you went. So I went. Second time I went, I was in high school. And I went a couple times, and I got saved after that. And after that, I started growing when I decided I was going to be a part of and be faithful to church. I started attending Gethsemane Baptist Church. It was in Paramount at that time, up on Orange Avenue. Pastor Jim Black, great man. He was very, very helpful to me. By the way, it was that church that helped me to start having a desire, and it taught me to learn the Bible. I was very ignorant of the Bible. When I started going to church, I'd never read it. I mean, I maybe read a couple verses here or there, but I got there and I got motivated, and I started reading my Bible, and I wanted to learn it, and I didn't know any better. I'd come to church, and I'd open my Bible, and I had a notebook there, and I'd start taking notes of everything the pastor said. Now, I had looked around, and I saw people, they would highlight in their Bible. Now, I didn't know, I was really ignorant. I didn't know what that meant. So I got me a highlighter, and every time Brother Black would reference a verse, I would write it down. And then I would go home and get a highlighter, and if he referenced it, I thought you're supposed to highlight it, and I started highlighting it. After a few months, I'm like, I've got this thing just about all highlighted. What's the purpose behind it? Okay, now there was a purpose. I know you highlighted a verse speaks to your heart. I get that. But I was just like, man, I just want to get into the book. And I started learning, and I write the verses down. I take notes, and I go home and transfer it to a notebook because I needed to learn. I look back at when I went to church and the many people who influenced and helped me in the church as I went there. A man named Brother Beard, I don't know if you knew Brother Beard, ran the bookstore. Here I was, an 18-year-old, and I looked like a punky kind of a kid, and I talked to him, and he'd take me back to a little bookstore and said, you ought to read this book. I think it was he who told me to read John Rice's book on prayer. And I took home, and I read that, and he'd help me get these things. He'd say, here's how you study your Bible. You ought to get this book and that book. And he was an encouragement to me. I didn't have friends in the church, probably because I didn't look like the youth group, and I was kicked out of high school, so I couldn't be in the youth group, and I wasn't really old enough to be in the college group, so I was kind of like in the middle, and I didn't look like the church kids, so they probably didn't want their kids hanging. I don't know, but I didn't have a lot of friends. But Brother Sisson, the assistant pastor, an older gentleman, he was probably in his mid-30s, he took me under his wing a little bit, played basketball with me, and just encouraged me. By the way, he was the first one to take me out to share my faith, but he took, and there was others, and then I met a friend, a guy there, Johnny Sanchez, a good friend of mine, and he was going to Bible college, and that's after I decided to go, and we kind of became good friends and served the Lord together. I learned to get involved in helping people at the church. I got on a bus route, and I got off very quickly, okay? I got on the bus, and they had By the way, back then, they didn't really have the laws how many you could have on a bus. We had like a little 66-passenger bus. We had 120 on that thing. And it was summer. By the way, did you have air conditioning if you rolled the windows down and drove forward? And I'm like, I'm not doing this. And I got back involved, and then I started teaching the four-year-old a Sunday school class. And then I would set up after Sunday night church. I'd help them set up for the Christian school. I started doing the tape ministry Sunday afternoons. I started doing the rest home ministry. Listen, if they had it, I started getting involved. But you know how could that happen? Because I got that desire at church. You know, I went to Bible college because my pastor told me I should go. I went into office to talk to him. He goes, you know, you need to go to Bible college. I'm like, whoa, that's not why I came. Do you understand? I dropped out of high school, okay? So why'd you drop out? They were going to kick me out, and I was going to beat them to the punch, okay? It's like, I didn't want to go. But he said, I think it'd be good for you. By the way, he was gauging who I was. Yep. Not that your pastor's God or anything, but he understood that, you know what, this is the next step this kid needs to take. He needs to go to Bible college for a little while. So I went. But church was very, very helpful. What I'm saying is I love church, and I always have. Yes. Church, we have our little Sunday school campaign. I love Sunday school. And by the way, I love Sunday school. But you know what? I love church. Yes. Amen. I want to talk to you for a couple weeks about that. I love church. We ought to love our church. Many want to bash and criticize the church. I love it. I want to be at every service. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want to be a part of a spiritual group that is working together to fulfill God's purposes on the church. I like church so much, I even go when I'm on vacation. Okay? And I'm not late. And I go to Sunday school when I'm on vacation. Fact of the matter is, I greet people on my vacation. I probably shouldn't do that. I just get out to service like I'm talking to people. I'm used to it. Okay, I'm trying to think. This person should come to my Sunday school class. Listen, that's 1,200 miles away. They're not coming. All right, but I like church, and I like God's people, and I just love being a part of it. In the story that we read, and I must hurry, we're a little bit later today, we see the beginning of the early church in Jerusalem. 50 days before this, Peter had denied Christ, and now here is Peter boldly preaching about Jesus Christ. As we read in the verse, 3,000 respond to the message. They not only receive Christ as their Savior, but they get baptized right away. But that's not all that happened. The Bible says, and that same day were joined unto them 3,000. Joined unto who? Those believers, the church. They became a part of the church right away. And we see that in their involvement afterward. What did it do for them? If you look at verse 46 and 47, and it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Man, they were not only a part of the church, they were saved and a part of the church, and they were excited about it. They were that God was blessing them, and they were praising God. They had gladness of heart in all that they were doing there. I think the church can help to bring joy in our life. You say, well, Jesus brings joy. I know, but you know what? Sometimes Jesus brings that joy through our brothers and sisters. Sometimes Jesus brings that joy through what we're doing in the church. I am for the church. I think we ought to enjoy church. I think church ought to be a blessing. Now, if you look at the verses here, you'll see two key elements that can help us to enjoy church. First of all, I want you to notice we must grasp the purpose of the church. If we are going to enjoy the church, then we must understand the purpose of the church, many of the purposes that it teaches us right here. The church is not a social center, although there is social activities involved. It's not a place where you promote political agendas or this or that, although the truth of God can apply to that area of our life. It's not a self-centered place of self-gratification. Sometimes people come and say, well, that church isn't doing anything for me. Listen, if you want the church to do something for you, you do something for the church. Self-gratification comes from emptying oneself. And once we're involved with others and our life is about being a blessing, you know what happens? We get blessed. Like the verse Brother Pineda read, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, it's a blessing when we receive, but it's a more of a blessing when we give. So it's a two-way street. But we must understand the purpose of the church. There's many of them mentioned here. First of all, it's a place of teaching. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were saved. They were baptized. They were added to the church. But that wasn't just it. They were still there for the apostles' teaching and their doctrine. You know what the church is about? It's about the truths of Scripture. It's not about wiping away everything we can and just tickling people where they itch. It's about learning what God says. Listen, what I say or what Brother Pineda says or Brother Chim or Brother Bichardo or anybody says, it's not important unless it lines up with what God says. That's where the blessing comes. That's where the truth comes from. It comes from God's word, and we're never going to back down from that. The church ought to be about Scripture. Why are you pushing us this year to explore the book? Because Scripture will change your life. Many churches are walking away from that. Oh, they'll have a full-blown production and someone will get up and they may read some little verse somewhere, but they're more interested in telling you about the newest movie and how it relates to Jesus or the newest song written, sung by somebody that doesn't even know God. You know what the problem is? They just like that stuff. But you know what we like? We like Scripture. What does God say? Say, well, what God says goes against what I think. I know, that happens to me all the time. But I'm glad that there's a truth there to set me straight. Say, man, late married. I wish someone would set my husband straight. That's never going to happen. Let me just tell you that right now. Can I just tell you something? The Scripture will set your husband straight. So I wish someone would set my wife straight. Don't even try. Just move on with your life and get over it. A church should be a place where the Bible is uplifted. By the way, some people don't want to hear it. I get it. Paul said in Galatians 4:6, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And sometimes people get upset. They come, they hear something. I just don't like that. And that's fine. By the way, I hear a lot of stuff I don't like. But if it's from the Scripture, then we can't really argue about that now, can we? Right. Paul said to the Galatian church that loved him so much at one time, said, now I'm your enemy because I tell you the truth. You've moved from the truth and now you don't want to listen. People struggled with this in Jesus' day. John chapter 6, he preached and people started leaving. And it was so bad because he told the truth and people were leaving. He looked at his disciples and said, are you guys leaving? Will you also go away? Now, they were smart enough to say, where will we go? You have the words of truth. But we need to make sure that we stick with the Bible. Amen. Also, it's a place of fellowship. They continue the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What is fellowship? It's not just a friendship. A fellowship is something deeper because it's based on spiritual principles. See, we can fellowship or have a friend. I can have a friendship with Brother Chim on a far, far deeper level because him and I both know the Lord. And we're both dedicated to the Lord and we know his word. More than just, oh, I like him because we like the same team. Who's your favorite basketball team? Warriors. Is it really? Communist? By the way, I like the Warriors. Okay, we used to have a team in L.A., but not anymore. We will in a couple years. Give them a break. But look, we both, I like the Warriors. But I'm not going to just, that's just a friendship based on that. Or, you know, we both have this hobby, or we both work at the same place. You can have friendships like that. But can I just tell you something? A deep friendship, a deep abiding friendship, is because we both know the Lord Jesus Christ. We both have something deeper inside of us than the frivolity and all these things that are worthless. God wants us to have that. By the way, it's important. We all need friends. The type of friends you have are going to determine the type of people that we become. That's why we don't just have the service, we have the Sunday school classes. Why? They're smaller groups where you can meet people and have good Christian friends. So I would encourage you that. That's a part of it. Also, what's the purpose of the church? It's a place of obedience. He says in breaking of bread. Now, we already saw earlier baptism. There are two ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Okay? Those are two areas we obey the Lord. Now, there are many areas we obey the Lord, but that happens through the church. There are steps of obedience. These are not listed straight out in the Bible. We have some things we try to help people work through as we're growing in our faith. The church will help you to grow in your faith. Also, it's a place of prayer. He said, in breaking of bread and in prayer. Listen, do you have a need? Is there something burdening you? Something going on in your life? Maybe you can use some help from God. You need to pray, but it's nice to have some brothers and sisters that can pray for you also. People that are committed to you because they know you. I feel sorry for Christians that don't have a church, and they don't have people like that and friends like, because they're missing out. It's a place of prayers. It's a place of unity. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And verse number 46, singleness of heart. Many other places it's talked about that, they were all in one accord. That doesn't mean they were driving a Honda, all right? But, you know, they all had some harmony there. But it's harder and harder to find people if you're a Christian as you're just out and about that believe like you do. We're so duped by what's being taught out there. And everybody looks, hey, that's popular. Well, what does the Bible say? But we can have unity working together. We mentioned last week in church in our Sunday night message how together we can accomplish more for God. Many years ago there was a World's Fair and they had a contest to see how much weight horses could pull. And one horse pulled 8,000, the other pulled 9,000. After it was all said and done, some of the promoters got together and said, I wonder how much the two horses could pull together. And so they decided to have a contest with it, and they were all making little guesses there. And most of them said about 17,000, 8 plus 9, 17,000. The horses pulled together 30,000. Why? Because two can do more than one. There needs to be unity in the church. We can work together. But more than understanding the purpose, we must give personal participation. Personal. We're going to enjoy church. If church is going to be a part of who we are, and we enjoy being a part of the church, we got to be personally involved. How do we do that? Well, as I mentioned earlier, it involves joining. And they that gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They didn't just have a big meeting and 3,000 people got saved and said, wow, that's exciting. See you later. They became part of the group. They were together. By the way, in the day they lived, because of persecution, it was very vital for them to be together. But the Bible still tells us we're supposed to meet together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. A church is a local, called out assembly of believers. We all need a church we need to be a part of. We need to be a member. The reason most people don't want to join a church is because joining a church is, here's the dirty word, it's a commitment. I'm committing to this church. I'm going to be a part of this church. We don't like commitment, do we? People don't even get married anymore. They just want to live together. No, it's got to be commitment. We don't want to be committed to anything. Yeah, I'll do it kind of, but I want to just have it so I can get out real quick if the heat gets on. Listen, we need to be a part of a church. Amen. So I just don't like that kind of commitment. You know, salvation was a commitment. You committed your soul to the Lord. You said, Jesus Christ, I'm committed to you for my salvation and you only, not anybody else. By the way, marriage was a commitment. I am committed to you and nobody else. First, you say, is that how it works? Yes, I don't care what these knuckleheads, these athletes and these, I'm not saying the word idiot anymore, Brother Pineda, but if I did, it would apply to some of these. We look at these people, oh, no, they're not. No, marriage is a commitment, okay? That's why most people don't do it. Being a parent is a commitment. That one went over very well. Thank you. Appreciate you too. Oh, but we just happen to have children. Listen, if you had them, you're committed to them. Okay, I got to go into something that's a little more popular. But it's a commitment. Listen, there's only two, look, salvation and baptism. The next step is find a church and become a member. Now, I know a good church. I know a really good church in Long Beach. I kind of like our church. Okay? You say, well, I don't like your church. I think you're just trying to push me into your church. I think church membership is so important. If you don't like our church, I'm telling you, you need to find a good Bible-believing church, and I would say a Baptist church, and be a member there if you can't be here. If you can find another good Baptist church that believes right and you would be faithful to it, I'd say do it. Yes. Now, I think you should like our church. But I'm just saying, church is that important. We need to have a family and we need to be a part of it. This isn't for you. I was hoping you would. That last part was just for you, Raul. Oh, you didn't get it. All right, I'll talk to you personally later. Also, back to reality, it involves family. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Now, he's talking about salvation. He goes, this promise is for you, but it's available to your children and those afterwards. You know, church is for family. Let me say this. Church should be a family thing. Yes. By the way, going back to the other message, just so we throw this in, we have too many podcast Christians. Well, I listen to messages on the internet. Forsake not the assembling. Listen, church means assembling, a called out assembly of believers, not podcast of believers. I hear people sometimes like, you know, I haven't been coming, but I listen to you on your podcast. But then you don't get to see me. That's half of the enjoyment. Okay, that hurt. I'm just saying. By the way, it's not just about seeing me. It's about being with God's people. And having good God. Anyway, that was free. Let's go back to this one because I'll really lose some friends here. Let me say this, and I'm just going to throw this out here. Most churches, the majority of them are ladies. Can I just tell you something, man? You're supposed to be here too. You're supposed to be faithful too. Well, you know, I leave the spiritual stuff to my wife. No, that's not how it works, Dad. Man up. Okay? You lead that family, and you're supposed to be in church. But it's for the whole family. Oh, you know, I just let my kids in the morning decide. Junior, do you want to go to church? I let them decide too. Junior, get up and get dressed. We're going to church. They'll be adults someday, and they'll have to make their own decision. I understand that. Well, that's the society in which we live. But church is for everybody. Okay, let me get back to being kind. Next, it also invites faithfulness. I like this word. And they continued steadfastly. I like the word continued. That means kept doing it. Didn't just like, hey, Pentecost was great. What a big day. We probably had food afterward. They had a potluck or what. I don't know. But we had a big day. Hey, and where are you next week? Where are you the week after? Continued. They stuck with it. They really got saved, and they really got in on what God was doing with this group of believers. It wasn't just one-time emotional experience. We have too many up and... You know why most people are up and down in their life? Because they're up and down in their Christian life. And I understand we all have emotional times and things happen. I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying we need to try to get ourselves on an even keel. And by the way, even when we're emotionally having a hard time, let's still do the things we're supposed to do. That'll help us get out of that hard time. And faithfulness. I also like the word steadfastly. That means nothing's going to interfere with it. I'm continuing steadfastly. You're not pushing me off the line. That means, fellas, when it's football season and your favorite team is playing, you're still at church. And I hope if you stay home to watch your favorite team from church, they lose. And if you're a Rams fan, they will. If you're a Raiders fan, they really will. Okay? If you're a Cowboys fan, you need to get saved again. Now, steadfastly. By the way, faithfulness sometimes is just a habit. When our kids were little, I always joke around with them when they're babies, like, who loves daddy? And I always teach them to raise their hand. Who loves daddy? Raise your hand. So now I have grandkids. So who loves grandpa? Raise your hand. Most of them do it. Jason always does it. The little white one, that I don't know where he got that. He glows in the dark. So he's a little boy. From the time he was, he's a little over a year old. From the time he was, it's like, who loves grandpa? Always raises his hand. Always raises his hand. So now when he started to talk, I'm going to teach him to say grandpa. I'll say, look at me, Jason. Say grandpa. And as soon as he hears the word grandpa, he just puts his hand up. I said, I didn't say who loves grandpa. I said, say grandpa. All right, forget it. Kid's like his mother. You know why he does that? It's just habit. He got in the habit of grandpa. Now he's starting to say it, okay? But he's not quite as dense as he used to be, like his father. But it's habit. You know, church ought to be what? Habit. Just, it's in our schedule. Church time, we're there. Let's continue. Let's be part of the church. It's great. Next, it involves reverence. Verse 43. Now, it's talking about all that was going on there. And it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I don't think that's a fear like being afraid. I think there was a reverence there. In other words, what I'm saying is they understood the importance of what was going on. I think sometimes we're too casual in church. Now, I'm not saying we need to, if you must talk, whisper. If you must whisper, whisper a prayer. I think there's praising God. There's shouting. There's singleness of heart. But there's a little, we understand why. It's important. I remember many years ago, I don't know if you were with us that year. We went to the church in Moses Lake on vacation, and there were, and this was back right when Russia was, I think it was still kind of communist, was kind of starting to break up, and there were some Russian immigrants that had got into the Washington there. They had got out, they had escaped the communist regime. I just remember going to that church, and they were all sitting there, and they looked so nice, and you could just tell because they were in a place where they couldn't worship the Lord freely. But just the way they sat there in church, just the way they were, it's like, to them, this is a big deal. Can church be a big deal to us? I'm not saying we can't have fun, but it's like, you know what? We have fun, but we understand God is a great God, and church is important, and this is where I come. You know why I give? Because God's a great God. I'm going to reverence him in some way. And so it involves reverence. And then lastly, it involves generosity. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, we're not telling you to sell everything you have, okay? Not, but you have to understand, they were being so persecuted, they had to all get together. And just to survive, because some of them lose their jobs by being Christians. Just to survive, they were selling stuff so they could all have their needs met. Almost a little bit communal, although it wasn't a communal like that. But the point is, they were generous. By the way, I think Christians ought to be generous. Amen. And if you're new, we're not trying to fleece your money out of you. Say, man, that freaked me out, what Brother Pineda said. It freaked me out too. Just kidding. No, we're having a building campaign, and that's understood. The church, we're building a building. But you know what? I'm not against giving. I'm glad I learned that early in my Christian life. And by the way, God has blessed me for it. And by the way, I like giving. When I see on Thursday, we talk about the missions, I'm glad I have a part of that. Like, I invested in that. Any of you own stock at all? Any of you? Not that it's, any of you? Okay. You probably would look in the newspaper to check out your stock, right? When I look in the newspaper, it's like, what are those words? There's a lot of letters missing. Someone give me a vowel or something. Okay. We don't understand it, and we don't care. You know why? Because I don't own stock. Now, if I own stock in something, my phone has an app, you know, hey, the stock prices. I could care less because I don't own stock. But, man, if I own stock, that'd be my wallpaper. Like, hey, you know, how'd it do today? You know, is now the time? Did it go up 100%? Let's sell. But I'm not interested because I'm not invested in it. You know, if we're not invested in our church, we won't be that interested in it. Right. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's part of that is giving. By the way, to meet the needs of the church, you say, oh, we're here. Why do you guys want money? Well, you know, electricity is expensive. Keeping the building up is expensive. Doing all the things we need to do. You know, the bulletins aren't free. I don't know if you knew that. Okay? All the stuff we do. But and then reaching people and missionaries and all that we do. The bus route. Listen, I love the bus routes, and I love everybody that comes in the bus routes. They don't pay for themselves. Yeah. Oh, you know, the bus kids take an offering. Listen, if you pass an offering plate on a bus route, you're going to get less than you started with. That's bus kids. I get it. When I was that age, I'd have done the same thing. No. But you know what it is? We're investing in people. By the way, we have bus people that started coming on our bus children. They're missionaries. Yep. I'm glad someone invested in them. Amen. But it's a generosity, whether it's of our finances, whether it's of our time, whether it's of our talent. As a church, we get to be generous and invest of ourselves. Yes, sir. If you don't have a church, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. What am I saying today? I am for church. And I think we ought to enjoy church. And I think church ought to be a part of our life. Well, that's just about Jesus. I'll just tell you what, it is about Jesus. And you can come to church all you want, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. But Jesus is the one that set up the church. Jesus wants us to be equipped. And we all need each other, whether we want to admit it or not. Church is important. Let's all stand this morning.